The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Doesn't it?
It does.
It does. It settles right in your soul. This is Terry Raposa, Wynn Carpenter, and the Hat Man. How you doing, Hat Man?
Travis. Yeah,
he's slow on the get up today.
Oh, I'm not slow. I've had a busy morning already.
Have you already?
Yeah.
What's that bag behind you? We got in the bag back there.
Oh, those are my snacks and my lunch.
Whiskey.
I just worked the whole day. You guys know I'm here all day.
You are,
yep,
huh,
yep,
buddy?
Yeah.
We're here broadcasting live from downtown Reading. KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better.
When it's on air.
And 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567. And we have the honor of having two wonderful guests this morning. That's Patrick Jones and his beautiful wife, Lori. How are
you two doing
this morning?
Good morning. Thank you guys for having us.
Great. Thank you.
Well, before we get started into all this, there's a couple things I want to address. Number one is that a lot of people understand the name of our program, Jefferson State of Mind. Well, what does the recall have to do with Jefferson? What does the city governments and the local governments have to do with Jefferson? What does the county and some of the things in the counties that are being done, even by the DA's office in several counties, Placer being one, that there's a lot of things happening with these situations that are unlawful, if I may say, things that are happening that are corrupt, if I may say, in my opinion. And I believe that these are all things that are pertinent to why we need a smaller state and why we need to have the counties get the local government back. I'm going to read one thing very quickly that was written by a good friend of all four of us in here, someone who wrote something who will go on and we'll talk a little bit about the dilemma that this person has had. But anyway, we've been asked, you know, is the recall unkind? You know, what's the cost of the recall? Is the recall divisive? Well, the Shasta County supervisors are counting on you to forget. Forget 2020. Forget your businesses that were forced to close. Forget the confusion. Forget the shifty science. Forget they locked you out of the chambers. Forget they supported Morgan. Forget they supported mandatory flu shots for healthcare workers. Forget they didn't hold Dr. Ranstrom accountable for her school guidance that kept your kids distanced and masked well beyond necessary. Forget they removed the seats in the chambers. Forget that they failed to terminate our local emergency. Forget they revoked Waterworks Park's permit. Forget they allowed HHS to harass business owners. Forget when they said they sold their souls. Forget they violated the Brown Act. Forget they refused to meet with constituents. Forget all the wasteful spending. Forget they pushed us to test, and then use cases to keep us shut down. Forget that some businesses will never reopen. Forget some children will never recover. Forget they prioritized a social contract over the supreme law of the land. Forget the mishandling of Windsor. Forget how they used their power to benefit themselves and their pet projects and not the people. Forget it. Just forget it. This too shall pass. And we can get back to the business as usual. No need to recall the hellish year this community endured. Just forget it. It wasn't a big deal anyways. We're almost back to normal. Well, I've got news for you, Modi, Rickert, Comente. The people of Shasta County don't want your normal. We the people raised our standard in 2020. We want good government back. We recall what you've done and what you've said this last year. We're holding you accountable for it. You're trying to stall us. You're trying to divide us. You're trying to demean us. Keep trying us, and you'll find what we're made of. This furnace you built just burns off our dross. It's peeling off your veneer, too. Very revealing. So, yes, we recall Shasta 2020, and yes, you are still being recalled. Written by Alyssa McEwen. Pretty powerful stuff, Alyssa. And, Patrick, you can start any way you want, brother, because there's a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's, I guess I'll start first by saying I've never seen a recall process like this where, the people that are, being proposed to be recalled are attempting to stop the process. And this is a California constitutional process, and they are, you know, interfering. And I've just never seen any process like this. For a lot of elected officials, including myself, on my time on city council, I was the subject of a recall. There's always going to be some small groups that don't like you or don't like a particular issue that you voted yes or no on. And so they have the right to recall. And it's fairly normal. And if you really dislike your council member, supervisor, so forth, you have the right to recall. And so I always felt that that was the people's right. You don't interfere with that. You just allow them to do it. And if they can get the signatures, then there's an election and the people get a vote. And that's how it works. But not in this case. In this case, we have people now intruding, trying to intimidate to stop this process. And what we saw this week, May 27th at approximately noon, I received two phone calls from proponents of the recall that had signed their name, and they had been visited by investigators from the Shasta County DA's office.
What do you mean visited by?
Well, exactly. What occurred there? Now, we don't know all the details there, but I was pretty upset that two stay-at-home mom types or grandmas were approached by investigators from the DA's office and clear intimidation. So I immediately went down to Stephanie Bridget, the DA's office. She was not there. She's out for 4 or 5 days. So I do have her cell number, so I called her immediately, said, are you aware of this? She said, yes, there was a complaint and an investigation was moving forward. I said, this really looks like intimidation, and I do not like it, and members of the community are going to hear about it. It needs to stop, and I'm making an official complaint. She said, duly noted. And that was about the extent of the conversation. It's unfortunate, and I am very disappointed in the DA's office, sending investigators out. Now, we know of two. There are at least 60 proponents, maybe more. Are they all going to be visited? Are they all going to be attempted to intimidate? I don't know, but I am very disappointed in the DA's office. This is borderline criminal activity. You cannot intimidate in a constitutional recall process, and that's really what it looks like.
So what if it's not for intimidation purposes, what other reason could they possibly have for going and knocking on somebody on a proponent's door? What could possibly warrant that?
Well, you know, and if this was standard procedure, I could live with it, right? If all the other past recalls, right, that occurred, if this was how you go out and you make sure that, hey, there's person A, yep, that is person A, and that is their address.
They went through the process.
They went through it. That would be acceptable. But they have never done this to any other recall process except for this one. That's intimidation.
Well, all they had to do was go to the registrar's office to get the list and see if they are truly validated. And if they were validated by the registrar's office, done. Said.
And the Register of Voters has already done that. They have already approved those. So,
right.
So again, this is all leading towards what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And I'm very disappointed in the DA's office. They are now taking part. And one might have to ask, is the relationship with the DA's office and Leonard Modi, a former police chief, is there a relationship there that is too close that is now interfering with a constitutional right to recall?
Well, there is. And actually, if you stop and think about this, what's happened is this has happened personally to two women we know of. So this is a personal violation. It's 18-242. And I know I throw that out a lot, but we're getting a lot of that happening.
It is what it is.
Because the color of law, and Stephanie Bridget, you're compliant with this. And I talked to one of your investigators the other day, and we understand now, and I want to thank her. Thank you, Christy, for giving us the mechanism in which we could go after public officials for breaking federal law and where we can find the jurisdiction of the people who can prosecute that. You know, I think we're a little bit sick of that. I'm kind of sickened by this whole thing.
Yeah.
I know that Lissa was shaken when she was called, and it's been in the news. We've seen it in the record search slide. It's been in the news. Point is that when you have a situation where you have the DA's office sending people out, as Wynn said, and Kathy Darling Allen verified this last week on Sovereign Minds when she said, oh, yeah, the signatures are all valid. At this point in the recall, what is there's no signatures yet, right? So what is it that they could be investigating that could be wrong? You know, Sydney, Bridget, you have something, you know, you need to explain this. I mean, I don't know, folks. It seems to me like the more we dig and peel back this onion, the more corruption we see. Patrick, what do you think?
Well, and she needs to answer it to us on our show or Mark's show so we can ask the questions and not be softballed by any other show.
That's right.
We need to be able to ask those questions because we are working with those people.
Yes.
And guess what? We're not going to pussyfoot around this stuff, and you're not going to be able to BS your way out of it.
Well, you know, and it's disappointing, too, because you talked about the local paper, which we really don't have a local paper anymore, and the reporting is so biased and so bad that, unfortunately, the public doesn't know what to think now because when they see what's written, for example, the three supervisors that are proposed to be recalled, they did a press release on the steps of the admin building, and they made some allegations that have not been proven to be true, and the paper picks up on those, and Record Searchlight picks up on those, and Channel 7 picks up on those, and they report this as if it's fact.
Now, right.
You know, and I can tell you for sure, the same person that most likely was behind that was behind false allegations against me when I ran last year. They did two false allegations and press releases, and they were in the paper and on Channel 7, both false, and the FPPC came back. So the way you're supposed to do it is if you think something is going on incorrect, the FPPC is a useful tool, so you can contact them, make your complaint. When they complete their investigation, and if there is an abuse or wrongdoing, then you have a press release and tell the public the truth. But instead, they, in essence, have most likely lied to the public, and now the paper and Channel 7 picks up on that lie, and they put them out there, and it's now hard for people to write their name because you've been slandered incorrectly with most likely false allegations. And what a backwards system that we have. But the good news in all this is that the public is starting to see right through it. And so while they're attacking and attacking, they can attack all they want. People are coming forward in droves now. This is all fueling the effort to recall greater than we've ever seen before. And I suspect they're getting fearful of that, which is why they're trying these low-down and dirty tactics.
So are some of these people that are doing this stuff, are they puppets from well-funded sources here locally and abroad? Or
we don't even know their sources. So they talked about transparency, yet
yeah, exactly.
We see no monies from them, yet the Shasta General Purpose Committee has correctly, any donations that have come in over 1,000 have reported those, and those are available to the public.
And in-kind.
And in-kind contributions. And then at the next proper reporting period, you'll see how much they've taken in. And so they're being transparent. But again, if you listen to this biased news, it acts as if the reverse is true, and it's just astounding.
Well, and part of it's frustrating is that I saw a video clip where the opposition was saying that they didn't have to report anything until August. Not true.
Right.
Absolutely not true. We had to report day one when we signed up
and
got the paper going. They had to see where that money came from that was initially starting the fund, and then also from that point on, every day after that, and then anytime something worth $1,000 or more, doesn't matter whether it's cash, check, or in-kind trade, or services, that has to be reported within 24 hours or you're in direct violation.
I think what we're seeing here is, you know, when you recall a person, not terribly big deal. The majority of the board is going to remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case, this grassroots group chose, voted on, and chose to remove three, or at least allow the public to be able to to have that choice.
Right.
That will most likely change the majority of the board. This presents a major problem for certain key shareholders, if you will, in
yeah,
the organization.
Exactly.
And there are certain groups that have been profiting greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, if you want to know the truth, you look at who's profiting, you'll look most likely at who's backing
right.
these three very
right.
bad actors.
Right.
And I think you'll find the facts there. And it is not a small amount of money.
No.
You know, I've only been on the job here with the county for 5 months, and the amount of money that is being spent is nothing less than astonishing.
Could you give us an approximation?
Well, just to give you an idea, you know, the budget is $579 million. At least $200 million of that comes out of Health and Human Services. So with 32 meetings a year, you can do the math and find out how much money they're going to need to spend every
wow.
meeting. You know, particularly with the Health and Human Services budget, they, in order to spend that kind of money, and you know, they apply for all this grant money in a variety of different ways, still taxpayers' money, of course, but we don't like to talk about that.
It's
spend
all
it
taxpayer money.
Any way you can. In their eyes, that's all good for the county
yeah.
because you're spending the money in the county, but pilot program after pilot program, mm-hmm. like Project Home Key, Nick was talking about it on the earlier, mm-hmm. he didn't mention the project by name, you know, $4 million to buy homes in Shasta Lake City and Anderson without telling those cities. For the homeless and mentally ill, how do you think that's going to help those neighborhoods?
And what about those neighbors that are directly affected,
right.
either side or across the street?
Just
how are they going to deal with
bad
that?
Programs? But because they could get the four and now $5 million, they added another $1 million to that. They'll probably add more. This is a failed program from the very beginning, and this is a rather small one. This one's only $5 million. There are others that are much larger, and unfortunately, you know, board meetings are held at Tuesday morning, so the vast majority of the public can't
right.
stay for the meat and potatoes of these meetings. You know, in the future, I'd like to see all these meetings at Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We're gonna fix that. So allowing the public to actually interact and see how we're spending your money, and expose some of these things.
And Wednesday night would be great because then Tuesday,
right.
if you want to go to city council, you can go to city council.
Correct.
Yeah, because all three cities do city council meetings then.
And
right?
we'll put agendas out for the public a week in advance instead of
right.
just a few days. I mean, that's been a big issue with me at the city, and now it's the same problem with the county. And you know, it's not transparent. They don't want the public to know what
right.
they're doing, and the budget is quite large now. And you know, so we're exposing it, and I'm happy to say, you know, also on Friday night, the Red, White, and Blueprint did interview me over a course of a couple sessions, and episode 3
mm-hmm.
is out.
That was awesome.
So I got a few things to say in there. I'm sure I'm going to make some new friends there.
you'll probably make more friends than you do enemies on that
one. So they have episode 1, 2, and now 3 out, and we kind of got into a little bit of the guts of my personal story over these last 19 years here in the city and the county trying to deal with these various problems. And you know, one of the things I forgot to mention in that is that, you know, when I first got on City Hall, I turned down the health care, the vision, the dental, which you would get for life. That's $28,000 a year, and everybody said, why would you do that? And I said, because it's wrong. You know, and we shouldn't do something that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need anybody to tell me, you know, that it's okay, because it's not okay. It's wrong.
Yeah.
I also turned down the retirement, the CalPERS retirement,
right,
which is
right.
I've also done that at the county.
Right.
And I don't want to be a part of a broken, failed system. And we will fix this in time. And I just don't want to be a part of it. It's so lopsided. Again, for the county, we have $1 billion. In CalPERS debt.
Mm-hmm.
What a shame. And the taxpayers are going to have to pay for that. So if you're at home and you have your checkbook out, be prepared. County's coming for you.
I've got a couple of questions that people have asked me in the course of the week. I was out yesterday seeing some of my customers, and every store I walked into, interestingly enough, they had watched the Red, White, Blueprint episode 3. Most of them were saying, did the DA's office really go and visit that lady?
Mm-hmm.
Did the DA's office really go see that lady? But the other thing that I've been asked about is that there's a mention on the CARES Act money that they hired 100 employees out of that. Okay, and let me just finish that thought. And the question I had was, is this money continual? Are these permanent jobs, these 100 people permanent jobs? That was one of the questions that was asked of me.
So, you know, it seems like the majority of this board wanted to continue the so-called governor's emergency orders to receive this CARES Act round one. Round two will be later. I don't know if they knew exactly how much it would be at the beginning, but it ended up to be about $24 million. And, you know, and I thought, you know, that $24 million would then be dispersed with the businesses that were adversely affected and shut down. And that's your Mexican restaurant and your Chinese restaurant and all these small businesses, because Costco and Lowe's certainly were having banner years, mm-hmm. right? They were essential. So they got to stay open, but the little guy had to shut down because they were such spreaders, right? But no, they weren't spreaders. They were just arbitrarily picking winners and losers, and they did this across the entire country, and our county board of supervisors did it right here in this county. Well, they didn't spend all that $24 million on these small businesses. In fact, at the beginning, they only took $3 million. They added one more million for a total of $4 million to give to the small businesses. They gave that money then to the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce nicely sliced off a couple hundred thousand for admin costs, so they profited out of the out of this COVID issue. And the county then kept the remainder. And during last year in 2020, the county personnel department grew from 2,000 to 2,100 in total. And this was a part of that money. There were others. So who was the winners here? So they obviously, from the county standpoint, they liked this, right?
Sure.
The county grew. They got money. Small businesses suffered. The other day when I was on a radio show, someone asked, you know, how many small businesses were shut down? Well, we don't have any of those numbers. They don't want us to see those numbers. We just know that when you talk to people, it was a lot. And a gal came in after that and said her business was hurt greatly. She's used her life savings to prop it up. She's survived, but she knows seven others around her that failed and will never come back. Those are the kinds of stories that are real out there. They just don't want you to hear those. And if you're not a small business person like myself, you know, and you're in the government work or some sort of unrelated work, unaffected, if you're essential, you may have gone through this whole thing not sweating at all. Right. But yet many other people lost everything they had. And, you know, it's really hard to recover from these are life changing events. Not only do they affect your personal self, but your family. You might lose your home over it. You might become homeless over it, all because the government says you're not essential. And they're starting now to talk about the next one. And so now we have a question, are we going to go there? Are we going to let them do that again? And this is, I think, another big chunk of the recall is that the majority of these three were the three people that prolonged this. And they're going to get us into another one. And we cannot let that happen. Just simply cannot happen.
Okay, so when the chamber carved off $100,000, $200,000, whatever, to execute and write a check to businesses here locally, why was that not done in-house in the county? We have several departments in there that are on lock, that at that time were on lockdown. You couldn't get into those offices, and some of them that would go out and do field work weren't allowed to go out to do field work. So you have all that staff inside the building doing the work. Why could they not do it? And they're perfectly able to do it because they have all the information. You have the assessor's office, the tax collector's office, you have auditor's office. Those three teams right there could have formed it and done an outstanding job and been in control of it and kept the money in-house. Why on earth would they ever let that money go outside of the county and pay a chamber to do something like that? Who in the hell was thinking on
that?
Well, that's crazy. They weren't thinking. So it wasn't that they weren't thinking. They were absolutely thinking. And I think their thought process was that instead of us doing it, which would require a certain level of work, not difficult really, but they didn't want to do the work. And how do you think the chamber would feel if they got a couple hundred extra $1,000s? Do you think they'd talk up the county for you? Absolutely.
Like
right?
They're doing
so now you just have a new friend that's going to be your ally in whatever. And of course, right after that, the board of the Chamber of Commerce come right out and said unanimously, we do not support this recall. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So you get money from the county, and then you're not going to support a recall.
The board.
Why don't you stay neutral, and why don't you worry about small businesses?
You're talking about the Chamber board said that unanimously.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, just making sure people understood that.
Chamber board, Chamber of Commerce board.
Yeah, wow.
After receiving the CARES money, then came out in opposition of the recall.
We're going to have to go to a break, but I want to talk a little bit more about that after. I mean, that's an interesting point. you know, we gave it to the Chamber of Commerce.
Isn't there a chamber board? Isn't that online? You can go and see who's on that board.
Interesting folks on that board. You might want to check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
Well, let's go off to our first break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
I was just out of the service thumbing through the classifieds when an ad that said old Chevy somehow caught my eye. The lady didn't know the year or even if it ran, but I had that $1,000 in my hand. It was way back in the corner of this old ramshackle barn, with 30 years of dust and dirt on that green army tarp. And when I pulled the cover off, it took away my breath. What she called a Chevy was a 66 Corvette. I felt a little guilty as I counted out the bills. What a thrill I got when I sat behind the wheel. I opened up the glove box and that's when I found the note. The date was 1966 and this is what he wrote. He said, my name is Private Andrew Malone, and if you're reading this, then I didn't make it home. But for every dream.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Memorial Day is May 31st, a day set aside to honor those who have sacrificed for our freedom. I'm Rob Burrows, reminding you there will not be a live service at the Igo Veterans Cemetery, but the cemetery will be open for visitors. There will not be a live service at Reading Memorial Park, but there will be a live service on the Reading Memorial Park Facebook page at 10 a.m., honoring our veterans and those who sacrificed for our freedom. The Northern California Veterans Museum offices at 2110 North Street in Anderson will be open to the public from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. for visitors, following current guidelines for safety. From all of us at the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, thank you for honoring our veterans and their sacrifices this Memorial Day weekend. For more information, call the museum office at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. On behalf of all of us at the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, I want to say thank you for honoring our veterans.
I came by today to see you. Oh, I had to let you.
Song.
Yeah, I think on this weekend, sometimes it's an extended weekend, and we forget on Memorial Day what is so important here, and it's remembering the fallen. And, in fact, today, if you have time, I definitely encourage people to, at 11 o'clock today at the Civic Center, right out front, there's the Veterans Memorial Grove, and there's going to be a service followed by lunch, and that starts at 11 o'clock today, and come on out. And, you know, just that hour long really puts everything in perspective and time for us to remember, because they've paid the ultimate price.
Amen, brother. Thanks for the reminder. That's great.
Yeah, you know, and thank you for the song, Sal. That was great. Great timing. Yeah, you know, the more that we look at this situation with the Chamber of Commerce, I mean, to me, that's rather disturbing. For one thing, how did they come out unanimously for the against the recall? How did they do that? I mean, there's like 680 businesses, and I know of at least, I mean, every business I went into is before the recall yesterday. And it wasn't just, I mean, most people I talk to, when I talk to people who work in the stores, grocery stores, I talk to people who own these stores. And they can't believe what's going on in our county and how corrupt it is. And I think there's real blinders on with Comente, Rickard, and Modi not really seeing, you know, they're getting themselves into some deep poo-poo. Real deep poo-poo.
Did the chamber board ask any of their chamber members? Did they ask them to vote on these kinds of decisions, whether they support it or not? Or are they just, you know, being, you know, acting like monarchs up there, just doing their thing, kind of like the Board of Supervisors?
Well, I think, wow. You know, unfortunately, yeah. this plays out in small towns across the United States. And I've been before the chamber board fairly recently last year. And when you see the people that are on there, their names and their people have been around. You know, when you see people like Mike Dahl, who's been campaign manager for Brent Weaver, I think that tells you a lot right there. When you see people like Christy Laham, campaign manager for Stephen Morgan, I think that tells you a lot right there.
And they don't own businesses, or do they own businesses?
Well, I think...
You would think that would be kind of a necessary part of it, is that you would own a business to be on the chamber board.
But when you see the members of the board, the board can only be that good, and unfortunately, I am certain that they don't represent the majority of small businesses in Reading. In fact, I think they're fairly well disconnected to that.
Kinda
they
like
have
the
their own personal agendas, and they're you know, and they work to promote those for personal gain or for that organization's gain,
right,
instead
right.
of the betterment of the community. And we've just simply allowed it. And you know, over the years. Back, you know, 15 years plus, when I was running back in those years, you know, the chamber was powerful. The board of realtors was powerful. The builders exchange was very powerful. Some of those groups have faded away now. And even the chamber of commerce here in Reading is chamber, you know, is faded away. It doesn't have the power that it once did because people no longer take them seriously. Before, when those three organizations made an endorsement, candidates won. Now their endorsements mean nothing because people find them to be irrelevant and not representing the views of the vast majority of the people in this area. This is still a conservative area, very conservative, 65% for Trump. And if you would take a look at these boards, it's just the opposite.
Though some of those board members claim to be Republicans in some or conservative in some capacity?
Well, you know, you can. Some people, they need to have a particular R by their name to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back when I was on city council and I was serving with former Assemblyman Dick Dickerson, who was also a Republican. And we were working on this rabbit issue. And when we spend a dollar on the Reading Area Bus Authority, we were getting back about 8 cents on the dollar. And I was furious with that. I said, you might as well give it away free at that point. I said,
right.
Can we not at least break even for goodness sakes? I mean, this is our gas tax and our sales
right.
tax here. And Dickerson said, you know, there's no law that forces us to, so why should we? And I said, well, shouldn't you do it on behalf of the taxpayer to make sure that they get, you know, something back for their money? I mean, breaking even in the private sector is pretty easy. I wish that's all I had to do.
Ethics. I mean, come on. It's got to be ethical to do.
But I was shocked. This was my former assemblyman, who I thought was a good Republican, but I found out there was an R by his name that probably shouldn't have been there.
Right.
And I've seen it time and time again. On the current Board of Supervisors today, everyone there has an R by their name.
Really?
Everyone.
Yeah, I think they...
And when Mary Rickard said that, I coughed. I couldn't help it. I had something in my throat, I think.
How could they even think that way? I mean, yeah, no.
Well, it's phony. It's not real. And people are seeing through it.
But their R stands for rhino.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that that's it. Maybe I have misunderstood what that R stood for.
Yeah.
And that could very well be. You know, but one of the exciting things right now that I've never seen before, you know, and I served for 8 years on the Reading City Council. I went to 12 years of those meetings and made every meeting perfect attendance. The level of support right now for change at the county is monstrous. I mean, I get people coming up to me every day, either a phone call or coming up and seeing me in person because I'm easy to find. I'm very accessible because I actually work, you know, for a living 6 days a week. You can come find me at 1600 East Cypress. So people do. I like that. I like to talk face to face. I hate texting because it just is too slow and stuff is missed. I mean, simple test. Hey, I'll call you in an hour is fine, but you can't have a long conversation on a test.
Yeah, dialogue's not good on text.
You got to do it face to face, and that's the best way to really see what's going on and see if a person's really been harmed, and we need to help that person. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people that are coming forward. The support has been amazing, and it's growing. And
well, there's support within the county staff for change.
Yes.
I mean, current staff, you know, people that I know, I know a bunch of people there, you know, having worked in the county for almost 9 years, I know a bunch of people there, and every one of them wants change. They want it yesterday.
Yeah. You know, when I go into that building at 1450 Court Street, the admin building, just the design of the building is not user-friendly. You go down some hallways that are shut off for the public to be able to access. So the public is just feeling like this thing, this monster down there is not listening to them. And whether you're in the boardroom or where you try to go find somebody in the small hallway that's not accessible, it's just obvious to me that that's not how you would design something that's transparent. To this day, 5 months into my first term, I still have not seen the CEO's office. It's behind somewhere after somewhere and never been there. You know, and that's just wrong. Hmm. You know, you know, it simply has to change.
So the CAO has not taken you as a new board member on a tour of just that building alone, meeting all the department heads, walking through each department?
No. No,
we've never done that.
Nope, we had a two-hour meeting at the beginning. We were used a conference room, not his office, and we had a two-hour meeting, and that was it. That's been really the only meeting that I had with him. I had a meeting with the Veteran Service Officer. She called me up, and I had a meeting. That was nice. No other department head has engaged. And, you know, to give you a counter and that's really odd and foreign to me. When I was at City Hall, I had meetings every week with the city manager. We went over every single item on the agenda, every single one. Every week we did that before a meeting. And that allowed a person to be informed to make a good decision. In this particular case, nothing at all. I don't even get a printed agenda. I'd ask for a printed agenda because I like to mark and highlight. I have to print them out myself. They gave me a county computer and said, here you go. And everything you need is on there. And that's the way it's been. And so, you know, it's frustrating for me because that's not the level of engagement that I've seen. And are they, you know, and they, I guess they're doing this to all the supervisors, but we will fix that in the future as well. And so I read every staff report, and we go over each one of those. Most people have known that if you go to a board meeting, you know, I'm probably on consent easily going to vote for 2, 3, 4, 5 of those I'm not going to support and vote no's, particularly wasteful spending within the health and human services. Pilot programs for homeless, I'm not going to support those. We are enabling bad behavior. And so I have now voted no more than all the other ones combined for their entire 4-year terms. And I've done that in 5 months.
5 months. Oh, my gosh.
So am I just crazy or
no?
Or am I very upset at lack of efficiencies within spending taxpayers' money? And that's, I think it's the latter. You know, and that's my big thing is, you know, I don't mind spending money on projects. Pathways to Hope out of the Anderson Teen Center. I think they have a good track record, and that would be something that we can duplicate in Reading. Mm-hmm. And it's a good program. I liked it. We had real experience with it here in our county. Those are the types of things that I could support. But these pilot programs, putting people in homes, homeless people in residential neighborhoods.
What happens to those houses down the road?
Yeah, exactly. Who owns them? Right. Because the county's not going to own them. So somebody else owns them. So there we go back to certain people are profiting with these programs. The county isn't going to own them.
So the county pays for it, but somebody else holds the deed?
Correct.
What the heck?
But that happens a lot. And
a lot here in Shasta County?
A lot with the Shasta County Board of Supervisors approving such programs. And we can change the terms of those agreements, right? But again, a lot of this stuff's done on consent, and they're not asking a single question. Now, consent items are supposed to be things that are considered routine and or have been individually scrutinized by individual board members and need no further deliberation. Not the case.
Wow.
Not at all. And so here we are spending your money time and time again, a lot of money.
So is that how it's being spun as far as how the agenda is put together?
Yeah, so a big chunk of the agenda is just labeled consent. It's just a fictitious name, if you will.
Right.
These are issues that are important. I'd like to get rid of all those issues and just have items, and let's go through them.
Yeah.
Right? And let's let the public, hash it out.
Yeah.
And let's see if it's good. But we put the larger chunk on consent as if it's already approved. And and there is a lot of money there. The lion's share of the budget, I would say, is most likely there.
So, okay, then these departments keep coming back asking for more. Is that what happens, or is the budget even set out? Do you guys sit down and go through the budget line item by line item as a board and, pencil out things, redline things, delete things? Anything like that?
So
that's how a budget is set up. You go through it line item by line item.
The very next meeting, I have not had a budget meeting yet to speak of.
In 5 months.
In 5 months. So June, I believe June 8th is our next meeting, and there will be our first actual budget. That should take all day, so we'll see. The public, I really encourage the public to come and get that agenda and be able to start going through it. And unfortunately, it'll be, it'll be 1,000 pages, but, those are the kinds of things. And we'll only have a few days to dissect it, which is unfortunate and wrong. So we'll do the best that we can, but you can imagine what's going to be in there.
I've got a question. When you're looking at something like this, 1,000 pages, going through it, it seems as if even if the public or the it doesn't matter what we say or what we do, they do what they want anyway. This is the way it seems with these three supervisors. The other thing is that I know the grand jury came back on Modi on something, and we have that issue. And he was on another radio station talking about that, saying, well, I was asked to look at different things, for my friends going back there and blah, 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 blah. But, I am sorry for that. Or are you really sorry for that?
Well, I'm sure everything he said was very truthful.
Sorry he got caught.
That's right.
He is the former police chief of City of Reading. I was there when he was there. Of course, a sex scandal was happening right at that time. I'm sure he was not involved in that. But it did go all the way up to the top within the organization, and people were fired. Thank you, Randy Bachman, Danny Baugh, and others.
Wasn't Leonard let go from the city as well?
Well, let's just say I had some serious disagreement with the city manager. The council made a decision. And then the very next day I get an email saying that the city manager did not go with what the council had unanimously approved and made him assistant city manager / police chief.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was insubordination, grounds for termination, which is the conversation I had with the city manager at the time. Leonard Modi has no experience as an assistant city manager, but he did stay there long enough to be able to spike his salary.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was what the whole goal of the operation was.
Oh, man.
And that was my first 7-8 months at City Hall. And what I was so disappointed at, I was new in those years, a rookie. I'd gone to, years and years worth of meetings. But what occurred there was putting the Reading Police Department second, putting the citizens of Reading second, thinking of your own personal pay first,
wow.
And everything else was second. And it was clear. And that is my remembrance of Leonard Modi at City Hall, putting his own personal financial gain ahead of what was good for the city and what was good for the department. And I was very disappointed and shocked. And I guess other people had said, well, you shouldn't have been shocked because, you know, we knew Leonard, but I did not. And I expected better from our city manager as well. And we had many talks. And people had always questioned me. They had heard that, hey, I wanted to fire Kurt Starman. And it's like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
For things like that and other things like that, it wasn't just one issue, but there were many. And I shouldn't tolerate insubordination and trying to spike a person's salary and putting that above what's best for the city and the department. And that's what I learned with these guys. And so that set my whole thinking different because I believe in government, and I think government is here to work for you to make your life better. That's what you pay taxes for, and it's supposed to come back to you. If you pay taxes, that needs to come back to you and help you. And what I was seeing is greed. I was seeing something that I had
personal
no idea.
Gain.
Personal gain. And, you know, I sat out there for 4 years, and I didn't get to see that, right? And so it was shocking once you're on the inside because you don't see it sitting in those seats. And I sat there for 4 years. I made every one. And so once you get into the system and a few months go by, as you start seeing what's happening, you start seeing another shape to government. And unfortunately, you know, it's not just a city of Reading thing. It's a county of Shasta thing, and it's all over the country. And it's why it's so important to have good people that will do what's right when no one else is looking, because clearly that's not what was happening.
Right.
These people had financial gain in their minds, and they weren't doing what's right. Just like me turning down the health care and CalPERS, you know, that's what's right. That's what we need to do, and we need to elect people. And I'm not saying the public is ignorant or stupid of trying to figure out who's doing right or wrong, you know, because everybody can make themselves look good when you're campaigning. But clearly we have to vet people better and find people that truly do want to serve instead of self-gain. And that's what we've been doing for a long time. The good news in all this is because of the events that happened in our country last year. We were so disappointed with that. I was literally sick to my stomach that I had watched something occur that I felt was wrong, and I didn't do anything about it. And I think a lot of us here in Shasta County felt that very same way. And 2021 is going to be different because the gloves come off, and we're going to fix these problems in our own county because we can't affect necessarily what's happening in Washington, but we damn sure can here in Shasta County, and people rising up in vast numbers. And
well, it is being felt here, obviously, you know, from both sides, because the one side that is trying to get things corrected and do a corrective action on the county and those who are supposed to represent us, they're doing the work and putting the time in and blood, sweat, and tears of going through the process. But then they're also feeling the effect of the retaliation by the opposition, because the opposition knows that their days are numbered.
Absolutely.
And exposure is going to occur. That's what they're scared of. They're going to be exposed, and there can be some criminal things come down.
People said, well, I don't know if there's, you know, retaliation, and I recalled a pretty big event back in my days at City Hall where we had we were lied to by Barry Tippin, who was the director of electric utility, on a gas purchase, a $400 million gas purchase. We paid double market price, which means we blew on behalf of the ratepayers in excess of about $200 million in one deal. Now, that I wasn't the only guy that knew this, right, but there was another person that came forward, a city worker, a whistleblower. His name was Michael Brown, and he made this allegation and said also, your number two or three in command, Tim Nichols, is taking bribes from Shell Oil. And Tim Nichols, a few months later, got caught. And a few months later, they fired Michael Brown, saying he wasn't a good fit because he had come out
that.
And made these allegations, right?
I remember
and,
that.
And, you know, and that kind of stuff happens, you know. And that was you know, just one decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got the anonymous email that Tim Nichols was caught taking a Rolex watch from Shell Oil. That did not come from city staff. No one from within the government told me they were going to try to cover that up. I got the anonymous email, and I also noticed on the bottom that it had been already CC'd to the Record Searchlight 3 weeks earlier. So I called up Jenny Espino at the paper and said, we've got a serious problem. You've had this for 3 weeks. Tim was fined $5,500, and you don't have it on the front page of the paper. You were covering for him, and we got into it, and I really felt the paper was covering corruption. I said, I better see this on the page, on the front page next, tomorrow morning. So tomorrow, the following day, front page news down at the bottom, city manager Kurt Sarman comes on and says, Tim Nichols has paid this fine back in a timely manner, and we're so proud that we have such great city workers to do these kinds of things in an efficient, timely manner. That was the story.
Oh, my gosh.
So why is Tim Nichols, why was he getting Rolexes and other things from Shell Oil?
Right.
Well, because they just profited $200 million. And unfortunately, the $400 million that we had into it, Santa Clara and Modesto, had a total of $1.5 million in one deal.
Wow.
We had a potential loss to ratepayers in that with those three cities at about $700 million.
Oh, my God.
And these things happen. And I couldn't get it to stop. So you think I was well-liked within the electric utility? probably not. But I tell you what, I'm not intimidated by too many things. In fact, I never have been. And whether it's death threats or seeing things like this and trying to be intimidated, they showed that if you speak out, Michael Brown got terminated, right? And so they showed everybody, you speak out, you're going to get fired. And in the paper, it made him look like he had no credibility. They make you look bad. And they certainly have tried that with me. But they can do anything they want.
Yeah, that's the whole point. I mean, and we've been letting them. I mean, I go back to what we talked about at the very beginning of the program. When you have these two young women that are being visited by DA investigators, I can't even believe that's happening. I mean, to me, it's appalling. I mean, it's their constitutional, God-given right, protected by the Constitution, to be able to do this recall and to have their opinion and to freely speak.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I heard that on the 27th at about noon, your gut experience, your first reaction is most likely the correct one. And that's exactly what I was thinking. And I don't know how many more people that have been contacted, and in this manner. And, what are they trying to hide? What is so important to try to stop this recall from moving forward to try to intimidate people? What are they trying to not let the public see? And you know what? I think we're only scratching the surface as to the depth of what's been happening.
I agree.
A forensic audit would be very revealing, wouldn't it?
A real audit, which we have not had. And I think they're scared. And this is what you're seeing. You're seeing mistakes. People making mistakes because they're scared. What are we going to uncover? And to what length are they going to go to try to stop us in the future? Because we've only begun. We're not going to stop. These people, this grassroots movement is started. And, I really like what they do. Some people said the paper again incorrectly said I was a key player. You know, whether I made my election, whether I was even on this earth or not, this thing was moving forward. This group had already...
They decided that, yep.
They decided that last year, long before me.
Yep.
This movement was coming, and the people were rising up. I'm happy to be a part of it, but a key player not. Every person in this group is important.
Absolutely.
And to try to label us key players or this or that is again, a tactic that they use. And it's a false tactic. The reality is that this thing is growing large, and they're not going to be able to stop it. What else are they going to attempt to do? It's kind of scary to see what they're going to try to do. But I warn county officials, whether it's from the sheriff's office or the DA's office, this is a constitutional right. We have a good attorney, and we are raising money. And you want to be right on this. You want to do right, and you want to allow these people to be free and exercise their constitutional rights with regards to a recall. Because if you don't do right, we're going to hold you accountable. This is only the start. So
amen.
That's a friendly warning.
Thank you, Patrick.
I want to encourage people to watch the third episode of the Red, White, and Blueprint.
Amen.
And I want to encourage people to stand. Stand now. Stand always. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say.
don't serve us, you serve out of hate. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.